special podcast, Actually Why Not? The purpose of this podcast is to raise the awareness for different ways to be successful in our business life and to value diversity. We invite our listeners, our 3DS Eurocentral colleagues, to accompany us in talks with various personalities who share their stories of what they did differently. In addition, we'll ask them to express their thoughts about the value of diversity. We are
Lydia Hildebrand,
Jessica Pink,
and Judith Weiner from the Eurocentral HR team. We are delighted to welcome today Dominic Cortas, Managing Director of Dassault Systèmes Eurocentral. We will talk about his career and his Actually Why Not moments in the following 20 minutes. Welcome, Dominic. We are super pleased to have you here in our first podcast session. How are you?
I'm great. Just pleased to be here. I've never done a podcast before, so let's see how it goes.
Me neither. So that's great to have a similarity with you. We know that you are working for 3DS since 2007 and that you took the role of managing director of Eurocentral approximately 1.5 years ago.
Yep.
As a first step, could you quickly reflect, please, on the three key milestones in your career?
First milestone was really getting a job in this industry as a pre-sales consultant more than 20 years ago. And for me, that was a super exciting new experience for me. Second one, when I walked into the reception in Rosenheimer Strasse at Real Time Technology, as soon as I opened the door and felt the energy and saw the people inside of that company, I knew that's where I had to work. The third one, of course, I have to say it was getting the role of GOND, of course.
Of course.
So your career path sounds very straightforward and perfect. We would like to dig a bit deeper and maybe discover together that even a supposedly perfect career has its ups and downs. And that imperfect career path can also lead to success. That's why we'd like now to talk about the edges and disruptions on your career path. Is there anything in your career that went wrong?
Tend to get bored quite easily, and I need to be around people that I can learn new stuff from all the time. And I once ended up in a job with a boss, didn't see how he could bring anything new to me, so I had basically to leave the company at the time. I would say that's the biggest disruption.
And did you have any doubts along your way?
We all have our strengths and weaknesses. I think one of my strengths is that I really believe in what I'm doing. I know we're not all perfect, but I really try and make an impact or try and leave something better than how I find it. And I think for that, you need a very high level of self-belief. Maybe sometimes it can be perceived as arrogance. I don't think so. It's just believing what I'm trying to do.
Isn't there also then the risk that you get deceived because you might not reach your goal one day?
That's a good question. I've said this to a number of people. I'm not one of those people that has like the 5 or 10 year career ambition. I've always taken the belief and will always take the belief that I'm here to do a job. If I do that job to the best that I can do it, then opportunities will open up. And I think maybe we'll touch on that, but it seems to have worked for me.
And have you already received rejection for something you really aimed for in your professional life?
I've never really applied for a job. I've been in a job and an opportunity or a discussion seems to open up or an opportunity seems to present itself and that looks interesting at the end there. So I haven't really applied for really any jobs for many years. But at the start of my career, I was really set back because I took a year out before going to university and thought, I don't need a degree. I'll make my own way in the world. And I started to think again about that when I got rejected for a job. And the job was basically, there was bits of a pig or Schwein coming down a conveyor belt and I just had to cut them up and I was rejected for that job. That was quite an eye-opening moment when you're 18 or 19.
And what did you do during that year out?
I had some really boring jobs. I worked in a petrol station, which was actually really good because the local police force used to use that petrol station. So when I got stopped for a speeding ticket, they knew me as a personal level. I got a high level of
flexibility. Some kind of deal with the local police.
Yeah, exactly. I worked in a chocolate factory. It was a chocolate factory that you could eat all the chocolates that you wanted during the day when you were there, but you were not allowed to take any home. My first sales job as a door-to-door Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman, which was a super tough job. And they refused to pay me in the end, actually, so I stole their vacuum cleaner. And they were expensive. But I did give it back, I should say, in the end, when they agreed to pay me. Perhaps not the first most successful step into sales, I would imagine.
But a step into sales, in any case, is that where you discovered the beauty of doing sales?
My father was in sales. He was actually a sales engineer and a sales manager for a company. And I had a kind of side business at school. I was always having access to various schools' equipment, pens, pencils, rulers, papers. So I was like the school office stationery boy, selling stationery to everybody.
And when you look back to that year out, where you did that different kind of jobs, what was the key takeaway from that year out?
That I really didn't have any idea what I was doing.
And then?
I mean, you get time to take a step back. And I was lucky enough that my parents were not giving me huge pressure to go to university. So it just gave me a little bit of time to really understand where I wanted to go. And I always, as I said before, I always like design and technology. I always liked that at school. So for me, it was, let me get serious, get to university and go and get the degree that I need in order to progress in that field.
Thank you very much for that insights into your career, Dominic. Are there today any skills that you believe you should master, but actually you don't master them? I could refer to myself. Sometimes I'm super nervous and stressed before doing a presentation. I think, oh God, after 20 years in business, I should do it just without thinking about it. Is there anything on your side that's a bit similar?
Well, the first thing is I don't think there's anything wrong with being nervous before a presentation. I still get slightly nervous before every customer meeting, before every major presentation, before every Minds call. And I think that's a good thing. It still keeps you sharp, if you like. So I don't think you ever lose that. I would like to be better at self-reflection. I don't think that's one of my biggest strengths sometimes. And the other two is I would like to learn French, and I would like my German to be much better.
When we will invite you then the next time to our podcast, we might do it in German.
Aber natürlich, ja.
Dominic, you are promoting yourself that we are looking for so-called fearless mindset, for brave mindset that dare to be different and that dare to do things differently sometimes, looking for talents that have this mindset. What was the most important, actually, why not moment for you in your professional life?
The most memorable why not was when I left Dassault System in 2012. I was super happy time, very successful time for me. Liked working for Dassault System, but I decided to leave, go and join real-time technology and move to Munich. No other reason than why not.
In which situations in your professional life have you, let's say, fallen out of the role that was expected that you would play, you know, compared to the expectations that were put on you?
I could answer that with a question. So when you, in the steps that you took in your career, when you became HR director, did somebody sit you down and say, right, this is the scope of the role, this is what we expect from you, this is what we want you to do on a daily basis? It doesn't happen.
No.
When you take a new role or you're acting a new role, you can look at the playbook that somebody else has laid out before you and try to do the same. You'll fail because it's their playbook. So for me, it's just about believing that you're going to do the right things, you're going to create the right plan, you're going to have the right actions, you're going to build the right team around you, and just having your own plan. And for me, that's really good. But because nobody tells you precisely what that plan is, it's your plan. So it has to be the right plan. So stick with the plan and just do the plan as best you can do. And I think the best recipe for success.
You probably, having a plan and being fearless and brave enough and courageous also to and curious enough just to go for it is one thing. But I could imagine that meeting with people who are in particular inspiring could also put a specific flavor to your career. Do you remember, do you think of anyone who was accompanying you and who was a real source of inspiration for you?
There's no one person that I would say, wow, that's my source of inspiration. But there's many snippets from lots of different people that I've met in my career that I will take things from. But I wouldn't say they're my number one sole inspiration. I made this comment to you the other day that when I look back at the most influential people in my career that I've worked alongside, typically it's I think I've got more inspiration from the females I've had the privilege to work with than I have actually the males. And I think there's a specific reason behind that as well.
Which reason?
Well, I think I don't like making generalizations, but I need to in this case. And I think females in the workplace are much better at giving feedback and constructive criticism than males. At least that's my experience. So it's more of a challenging kind of relationship in a positive way that I've had with some of those people that I think about. And I think that's been really, really, really fun, really healthy, and really, really good for me as well.
That's very interesting to hear, because that's the perfect bridge to the couple of questions we would like to ask you next.
Dominic, you are a British man with a Ukrainian wife, live in Germany and work for a French company. What value do you see in different cultures in your life, professional or in your private life?
That's a super good question. I should say as well that my father was actually German, so there's another mix in there as well. And we think our name came from somewhere in Poland as well, so there's another mix. A side story that go through school, you're presented and taught history in a certain way. And the story that I remember was, you know, we all learn about World War II when we're growing up at school. I was in Ukraine visiting my wife's grandparents, and her grandparent was telling me how he saw World War II, and it was a completely different perspective on the whole situation. And I think that's probably the point behind this, is that diversity drives completely different perspectives in terms of views, outlooks, the way even people behave. And I believe that's why hopefully I do a good job in my current role, because I think, you know, the way that business, the way that French people work is very different than the way that German people work is very different than the way that UK work. And maybe I can see myself as being the glue or the translation that helps some of those wheels turn a bit smoother.
And just a question, how many managers did you have in your career, and how many of them were women, and how many are younger than you?
I had to go right back to the start of my career, and I've had one, actually, only one. That's really sad, isn't it?
How was the collaboration with that female manager you had?
It's been many years ago now, actually, but when I thought about it, she was really quite interesting. As I've said, she was like a mother teacher to me, so I can't remember precisely what I've taken away there, but I just remember her being very, very precise. She had it laid out, what she was going to do during the day, what she was going to do the next day, really super well structured, which is quite unlike me, I would say, on reflection. But yeah, I've never had a younger manager than me, but yeah, coming back to one thing I mentioned before, I've been lucky enough to have some interesting steps in my career, and being quite young in many of those positions. And I remember being challenged by my manager at the time, who was older than me, and he said to me, you know, in this role you're going to be sat in front of some senior business people. You know, you're a young guy. Yeah, you look young at the time, maybe not anymore. But he said, why are these people going to listen to you? And I remember my answer was, well, I hope they're going to judge what comes out of my mouth rather than how I look.
It seems a little bit boring as the only male manager. What do you think are the reason for this last century management context?
I think it's just a symptom of the environment we work in. It's engineering and technology, and that doesn't attract enough females as it should do today, and we need to pay more attention to that. You know, we have our diversity targets within Dassault Systèmes, but we don't make enough publicizing of those around what we're trying to achieve. And I think we need to take some lessons learned in this year, particularly when I think about our objectives framework, and make sure that everybody knows what our diversity targets are. But more important, coming up with some pragmatic steps.
Where do you promote diversity?
Oh, everywhere, every day. Like, I'm the diversity champion. It's a strange one, is it? Because if you really believe in something, and it should be something that we're all doing, you shouldn't need to put a spotlight on it. It just should be something that happens. And it does. And I think we're very good as a company at diversity, I would say. I mean, you just look at Ecal as a good example. All the different people we have from different nations, beliefs, sexual orientation. Yeah, we need to improve on the different mix of the different sexes. But I think as a company, you know, we're all well-educated professionals, and I think that's a good foundation for us to have a diverse workforce. We just need to put more focus on it, unfortunately, because it doesn't seem to happen naturally within our industry.
You're absolutely right, and obviously we talk about numbers and statistics regularly, the percentage of women we have in 3DS, the percentage of women managers we have in 3DS. And as you know, there's a big difference. Mm. We've got half as many female managers percentage-wise than women in our workforce. Mm. What do you think is the reason or parts of the reason?
That's a good question, Judith. Does there not need to be a certain momentum, a certain size of that diversity population that you want to increase in order for it to extend? If you look at our R&D team inside of Dassault System, you know, we have Florence Hu there as the woman on top of a huge R&D organization. But what's the percentage of women in R&D, and is there enough of a dynamic there for them to, you know, take those management positions? I don't know. It needs a certain kind of minimal impact, minimal number, perhaps, to create to drive a wave of change. I don't know. It's not a simple question to answer.
And if we had the answer, the situation would probably look completely different.
Go back a few years, there was always that topic of, you know, and again, I'm going to make some generalizations, apologies for that, but at a certain point in a woman's career, she's normally going to go leave the workforce for a period of time and go and have children, and she may or may not come back. I hope that we still don't have that kind of attitude when we look at long-term career progression, but could I put my hand on my heart in all parts of the business world and say that thinking still doesn't exist? I'm not so sure.
I would agree with you. I'm not so sure neither. The question I have is, do we encourage enough to pursue your career, whatever your personal and private context is? I'm not sure about the answer.
Sorry to jump in, but to flip that around, just thinking off the fly there, but I don't think I've ever had a situation where a couple have had a child, but the man takes a few years off to go and raise the children and the wife continues to work. And I've never seen one of those requests in my career today. That's quite shocking, really, isn't it, in today's society, I guess.
It is.
You know, at 3DS, women are clearly underrepresented in management position. We have now a guessing question for you. We have a study of the Harvard University. And what do you think? What percentage of people spontaneously associate men with career and women with family?
I think it's around 37%. I'm sure you're going to tell me it's much higher than that.
Yeah, it's much higher. It's 76. What do you think about it?
I think that's pretty shocking, isn't it?
How was it with you? During your successful career, have you ever thought about how to balance family and career?
Yeah, I have thought about that. In the younger days in our careers, you know, when you don't have family, I always found myself working throughout the weekend, which is not healthy. And certainly for the first few years of my eldest son now, I didn't have the work-life balance quite right. And in fact, when I started at Real Time Technology, my family was still living in Oxford and I was commuting to Munich every day. So I didn't see them during the week at all. Yeah, that was not a good work-life balance. Hence the reason why everybody now lives in Germany. But that's really, I guess, my family compromising around me rather than me compromising around my family somewhat.
Does this also mean that you have not considered stepping back from your professional career to spend more time with your family? Because that's very often, obviously, a question that women ask themselves.
No, I haven't asked myself that. And maybe it comes down to the fact that I genuinely enjoy this industry and this company and doing what I do. I guess if I didn't and I was, you know, miserable at work and that I took that misery home, it would probably be a very different story.
Thank you very much, Dominic, for sharing your experience, your anecdotes and your thoughts with us. As takeaway, we can say that you're still nervous before customer meetings, but you think it's a good thing. Your advice is that everybody should find out what he or she really loves to do. Do this in your job and don't copy someone else in the job.
Because yeah, and that will allow you to do it to the best of your ability, not to the best of the previous guy or the gal.
And as a third takeaway, I understood that you believe that women give faster and more valuable feedback and that this is a very great asset for a company like 3DS, where we want to build up that open feedback culture.
Yeah, exactly. I think in the professional environment, a feedback culture is one of the most valuable things that we can have to be better. And in my experience, you get a much richer and more valuable feedback from the female peers I've worked with over the years than I have the male. And challenging feedback as well, I would say.
Thank you for this thoughts and this explanation. As you know, we propose every guest to ask one question to the guest of the next podcast session. Cool. And our next guest will be Pascale Morocher. She is, and you know her pretty well, she's Worldwide Client Global Value Engagement Vice President at Dassault Systèmes. What is your question for Pascale?
So I would like to ask Pascale, what was her motivation for being involved in engineering and technology like she is today? And how does she believe that we can attract more women into this environment?
Very cool question. Happy to pass that question on to Pascale in our next session. We're already at the end of our podcast session, Dominic. Thank you very much for having been our first guest today. It was a great experience and also great fun for all of us. Is there anything you would like to say to close this session?
First of all, thank you. It was good fun. I would just like to say, for me, it was a very interesting process. I think some of the questions that you ask were very good ones, and they're not ones that you ask yourself every day and you're not asked every day. So it was really a good reflection, I think, on some of the things I've done over the previous years, but particularly on the diversity topics and what we can do to be better publicize what we're trying to do and get people's support in trying to make those goals achievable and make them happen. So thank you for taking this super initiative. And I'm delighted now I can say I've done my first podcast.
Yes, same on our side. Thank you very much again. Thank you, Dominique. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Lydia.